Welcome to the Tin Lounge. You've stumbled on one of our short episodes called The Mini Bar, where we discuss current events in the travel industry. I'm Teresa, owner of Get Out Custom Travels and creator of Fam with Intention.
And I'm Corrine, creator of Travel Biz Boss and co-owner of Journeys Travel Company. We can't discuss all of the headlines, so stay with us until the end for excess baggage.
So after what feels like years and years, I'm finally going to experience Virgin Voyages for myself.
I haven't either. I had to cancel. I was supposed to go a couple years ago and I had to cancel. So I'll be interested to hear your take. It seems pretty like hot or cold.
Yeah. So currently I'm using the app, as it is app-based for those who have gone on board. I've been trying to use the app to make dinner reservations. And like the only dinner times are only a few nights at like 9:30, 9:45 p.m. Like I can't eat that late. That's almost my bedtime. So I'm just hoping that once I get on board that I can just do walk-ins, which I've heard other people do, like just do walk-ins at different restaurants and stuff like that. But fingers crossed that it'll work out food-wise. Otherwise, there are other like eateries and stuff that's not a sit-down dinner kind of thing. Right. But I would like to try some of the specialty restaurants.
Heck yeah. So do you think, I mean, I'm not sure how much when you started looking, but do you think it's just something you have to really get on top of early on?
I think so. The cruise wasn't confirmed until I would say maybe a little over a month ago. So it could be that. So we'll see. I mean, I'm going this like as a go with the flow kind of thing. And it would be kind of funny to just compare the Disney cruise I was currently on or recently on. with children to an adults only with Virgin with no children at all. So
that sounds like a good blog post plus plenty of social media material.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, all my clients that I've booked on Virgin have loved it. So I can't imagine not liking it.
Well, all of us will be waiting to hear your feedback. And before we jump into today's episode, this episode was brought to you by Toby AI and Voyager websites. Visit voyagersocial.ai to take Toby for a walk. That's not a good sign that I'm already stumbling over words in the intro.
Well, maybe you'll get warmed up for excess baggage.
Yeah.
Our first article is from Travel Agent Central, and it talks about how social media still plays a big role in travel. It absolutely plays a big role in travel, so let's just see how. So JustFly.com, which is an online travel agency, commissioned a survey of 2,000 Americans and found that while social media plays a big role for all travelers, the use varies by generation.
Surprise!
I know. In its research, they found that Facebook and YouTube are the most used social media platforms, while Pinterest and TikTok are used the least, although usage of each is strongly driven by age. To that point, Facebook, which has been around longer than most other social media platforms, continues to effectively engage all audiences, reaching almost half of Gen Z and more than 70% of older groups. YouTube, on the other hand, has roughly the opposite composition. It is used by 2/3 of Gen Z, nearly as many millennials, and is used by just 4 in 10 baby boomers.
Okay, they forgot a generation here. And let me tell you that I am the queen of the YouTube rabbit hole, Gen X here. And actually, because of you, just last weekend, I spent in a YouTube rabbit hole looking at Buenos Aires. Because... You piqued my interest. I will say, I was under the false impression, and I'm not exactly now sure where I got it, but that it was not a safe place for LGBTQ+ people. And so I was doing a little research of that, and apparently that's not at all the case. It's a very safe and welcoming place. And I'm attracted to it because when it's really hot here in Mexico, it's winter there. And let me tell you, YouTube... you just keep going one after other. It just keeps feeding you more and more and more and more.
It's the related links.
Yep. And you also know I'm constantly telling people to go to what I call the University of YouTube for all things like technology instructions or whatever.
And so here's an example, ladies and gentlemen, of how you can be an influencer in your own circle. You don't need to have hundreds of thousands of followers. You can just have a podcast co-host who respects your opinion. And when you say Buenos Aires, she gets influenced.
That's right. You influence me on a lot of things.
Well, and going back to the article, the data, it can be insightful in how you build your online presence as a travel advisor. And a lot of that will depend on what demographic your clients are. So I know for myself, I am largely on Instagram because I know that platform better than any other social media platform. And I know that a lot of my clients are on Instagram. So I stick with what I know and I just try and be as good as I can on Instagram. But if you have clients who will mostly go to YouTube, that is where maybe you should try and grow your presence or post on that platform.
Yeah, I would prefer not to be on Facebook, but that is actually where a lot of Gen X is still stuck. So I love that I can post to Instagram and have it automatically post to Facebook. So I'm not doing double the work. You do have to have a business account on Instagram and a business account. No, I think you can do it personal to personal as well. It has to match though. You can't automatically post, I don't think, from a business account to a personal account. So you want to make sure that is congruent.
I do know when I post on Instagram stories on my business account, I have it linked to post on my personal stories on Facebook.
Okay, so I'm wrong.
But I don't know how that happened though. I couldn't tell you how that happened. So I know that most of my audience, they follow me more on my personal account versus my business one. So that's one of the perks of that happening because they can get a feel for what I'm posting on Instagram stories while checking out what I'm doing on my personal account. So it works both ways.
Well, I think it's important for people to know you do not have to go on all platforms. I think that gets so overwhelming when you're like, well, it doesn't even matter if I post on Instagram. If I'm not posting on them all, then I'm not getting anywhere. But that's just simply not true. I like to do Instagram and auto post to Facebook because I feel like I'm getting the most bang for my buck. Mm-hmm. I have dabbled a little bit in TikTok. I think LinkedIn is actually sort of making a little bit of a comeback is what I'm hearing on all the business podcasts I listen to. But I want to say repurpose, but there is an issue with not creating native content for each platform. I think it's fine with what Pinterest does automatically with Facebook, but like if you post the exact same video on Instagram Reels that you do on TikTok, I think there is an effect on the algorithm. So just pick something and go with that thing. Don't feel like you have to do it all. You have to copy everything you do to all of them. Don't let it overwhelm you. Just focus on.
I mean, if it's easy for you to post Reels onto TikTok or create a TikTok and post it on Reels, just go ahead and do that. I mean, some content will be better than no content. So do whatever is easiest for you at the time and see what happens.
And also, we've said this a bunch of times, don't get obsessed with likes, follows, shares, all of those actual engagement things, because there's a ton of lurkers out there and all you really want to do is be top of mind. So don't get yourself all hung up on the insights and stuff. I mean, those are good things to guide, but don't be obsessed with it because there's tons of people who see your stuff who just don't comment or like. They're just not, that's just not how they roll.
Spoken from a lurker.
Yeah. Speaking from experience here, I'm absolutely a lurker. I've been trying really hard to be more engaged, but I will absolutely scroll for 7 hours and not like a single thing.
Social media also plays an important role in other aspects surrounding travel, including inspiration. Of those surveyed, 68% said they share photos of their trips on social media, with 53% aiming to inspire others through their posts. For younger generations, specifically Gen Z and millennials, social media is a key element in their travel decision-making process. This is evidenced by 81% of Gen Z and 75% of millennials affirming they consider social media when choosing a travel destination. In contrast, for older generations, such as Gen X and baby boomers, Rude. Social media isn't as critical. 50% of the former and 32% of the latter said its significance for their travel planning.
Less significant, I think, is what that's saying.
Yes. I mean, I do know that some of my millennial clients, they are on TikTok and they're looking at these things. And it is helpful in the sense that when they reach out to me, they have an idea of what they want. And I can then advise from there. And some of the things that they want, I'm like, okay, it's time for a reality check right now. Here's what they didn't show you. I know they showed you the Grand Hotel Tremezzo in Lake Como, and you want to book a surprise trip for your wife to Italy for June of this year, and you want to spend 3 nights at that hotel. And you want to spend a total of like 10 days in Italy total. Did you know that one night in June at that hotel starts at 2,000 euros a night? And he texted me like an LOL. And I'm like, yeah, I'm glad you did not already book your tickets, because he would be so disappointed. Because he sent me a TikTok. He's like, this is what we are kind of wanting to replicate. And so I'm looking at all these hotels and I'm like, the budget does not match this TikTok that you're sending me.
Yeah. Still good for some inspiration. And when they send you a TikTok like that, that really gives you a lot of intel into the vibe. And, you know, then there's so many different things. And I'm sure you threw out some good recommendations, but you saved yourself so much time and frustration by sending him that text that said,
this exactly.
is starts.
Yep.
Let's
and sometimes
real.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they're like, oh, I really want, you know, Zakynthos and like some other random Greek isle along with, you know, Santorini and Mykonos for, you know, a 1 week time frame. And I'm like, listen, you're not going to be able to hit all of them and have the experience.
You want to spend a week on a ferry? Cool.
Yeah. But that's something that we need to keep in mind when people come to us with that. It's just that, you know, I can help them based on what their priorities are. And I know they want, you know, more unique immersive experiences from the TikToks they sent me. We can't go with exactly what you have sent me, but this is something similar. Tell me what you think.
Yeah. And I think aside from us using social media for marketing, which is amazing, it's free, we can pay attention to trends. So we know what the young whippersnappers are going for these days. We can ask our clients to send us their inspiration so that we can get a true peek into what it is that's getting them fired up. We can use it for research on hotels, destinations, tours like that. I love using it for hotel research, because you get, since video is the big thing, you really get a good look at what the vibe is and not just a still shot.
Right.
So we can use social media for lots of things pertaining to our job without ever even posting. It's still useful to us.
Yeah, we can do our own research using it. That'll give another layer of information to us. Nikita with Travel Agent Collective, she often talks about how advisors, we shouldn't necessarily be posting inspiration because the influencers are doing that, right?
Yep. They're already doing
inspiring.
The job for you.
What you need to do is showcase what you can do for them as an advisor. What sets you apart, you know, what value you can provide to them in your posts. It's not just, hey, look at this really pretty picture of this hotel. How can that point to you as the expert? Like, what will inspire the people looking at this post to reach out to you to book?
Yep. You got to be building authority. And even if that is like saying, like we talked about last week, Heather Christopher's post was like, it was Kate Sullivan's, your $15,000 budget for Italy for four. that builds authority. That mm-hmm. even though it's not what people want to hear, they pay attention right. even more.
Right.
So I agree so much. There are so many influencers out there doing all of the travel inspo reels and TikToks and mm-hmm. pictures. You can come in and scoop up the people that are now inspired by building authority mm-hmm. about what you can do.
Right. This article ends with saying, that all said, despite the effects of social media, personal networks have a more substantial impact on travel decisions than social media. To that point, 65% of Americans cited friends and family as the key influencers in choosing travel destinations. This preference extends to selecting vacation activities, with 63% looking to their close contacts as their primary source for recommendations. Travel blogs and Instagram also serve as important sources, ranking in second and third place, respectively. This is good news for advisors, as if you can become a trusted source for your clients, they will value your insight over what they see online.
Yep. Some of these platforms are serving more as a search engine than just a social media platform. So you want to be found there if you can be, but you don't have to be found everywhere. And you can also use these tools to help you outside of the stress of posting.
mm-hmm. And if you see a reel or a post that says something incorrect or you don't agree with what this influencer is saying, that is the perfect opportunity for, you know, those quote unquote hot takes where mm-hmm. I absolutely love doing this, where it's like a Mythbuster kind of thing where
yeah.
I heard this. This is why that's wrong. And that also helps establish authority too. So you can definitely use some of those influencer posts if they give incorrect information to... Yeah,
don't do it in their comments though. Just make your own hot take.
Yeah, yep, exactly. exactly.
Out there correcting everybody. All right. Our next... It's not going good today. I almost said article. Our next article is from Travel Market Report, and it is titled Cruise Ships and Celebrity Chefs, a Perfect Pairing the Industry Continues to Crave. And I love this so much because similar to resorts, the food is often the downside of a trip like a cruise or an all-inclusive resort. There aren't a whole lot of standouts in this department, Yes, if people go to specialty restaurants, that's usually better. And actually, I have been craving Tuscan Grill on Celebrity like nobody's business because steaks where I live in Mexico are just not the highest quality. Like I cannot get my steak fix unless I go to a super, super fancy place. Mm-hmm. So for some reason, I'm like, I just want to sit down at Tuscan Grill and get my antipasti platter steak and but generally speaking the food just isn't really the main draw, but that is starting to change. We're getting to see a lot more celebrity chefs like Jacques Pepin on Oceana. And anyway, the article says, for many cruisers, food is a driving force in their vacations. The promise of multiple dining venues from which to choose around-the-clock access to satisfy every craving lures them onto ships of all sizes. These days, cruise ship food and beverage programs are seeing a renewed trend, one that places culinary prowess above quantity. So yes, culinary cruises are gaining popularity, with more and more cruise lines offering immersive culinary experiences using local ingredients and techniques and hosting themed dinners or chef's tables. Clients with an appreciation for epicurean delights have more options than ever to please their palates. Just use this guide to steer them in the right direction.
And if you want a link to this guide, it is linked in our show notes along with all the other articles that talk about as a reminder. So some of the unique experiences that can be found, this article lists out for us. It says one of the most notable culinary partnerships in the cruising world is Windstar's designation as the official cruise line of the James Beard Foundation. The nonprofit organization's mission is to celebrate, support, and elevate the people behind America's food culture and champion a standard of good food anchored in talent, equity, and sustainability. Each year, they partner for a series of intimate, themed culinary sailings that include a chef-hosted dinner with wine pairing, two cooking demonstrations on board with recipes included, and a local market tour with a chef. The 2025 sailing season. Oh, The 2025 sailing season, which will mark their 10th year of partnership, features five acclaimed chefs bringing their original culinary expertise and signature dishes to sea. The important thing, though, is you don't have to be on a Windstar cruise to experience the partnership. All sailings have a selection of James Beard Foundation dishes on the menu every night.
Right. So even if it's not one of the ones that has like the whole shebang, you're mm-hmm. still getting the option every night. Have I ever told you about the pumpkin lemongrass soup on Regent that
no.
I ate like 12, 13 years ago on a ship inspection, and my mom laughs every time I bring it up because I still talk about the soup.
It really made an impact, and now I feel like I really want to try the soup.
Yes, and then I have to say, I was on the Scenic Eclipse last year, and it was wild. There's a restaurant called Night Market that only seats 8 people, but everywhere that I ate on there was so beyond top-notch. Jeez. Okay.
I mean, I think you were just going for a pun, right? Top
Maybe.
Nosh, like your
my
noshing,
brain. My
like
brain was trying to just combine things.
Well, part of this article I really love is they list out other cruise lines with other chefs that will also make an appearance or at least have their menu items available for cruisers. So on Crystal, you know it's going to be fancy. One of the specialty dining options on Crystal is Umi Uma, which translates to seahorse in Japanese, mirroring the cruise line's double crown seahorse logo created by legendary master chef Nobuyuki, aka Nobu Matsuhisa. So if you know Nobu, you know it's got to be good.
In December, Holland America Line opened up the new specialty venue Morimoto by Sea aboard the New Amsterdam. And what led to the Iron Chef, his decision to open his first standalone restaurant at sea was that, quote, "I've always loved traveling and experiencing new cultures and cuisines. Opening a restaurant on a cruise ship allows me to bring my style of Japanese cuisine to my guests from all over the world. The constantly changing backdrop inspires me to be creative with my menus."
And I do love Chef Morimoto.
Yes.
I mean, growing up with watching The Iron Chef, there's just like definitely a celebrity air to it. And I know it's going to be good.
Yep. And he worked with Holland America to tailor the menu specifically for guests on board by offering a curated menu incorporating local catches from the ports of call. This is made possible by Holland America Line's Global Fresh Fish Program, of which Chef Morimoto serves as an ambassador, which offers more than 80 varieties of fresh fish sourced locally from across its worldwide network.
Okay.
Farm
I
to
will
table,
say,
sea to table.
I will say that one of the best fish sandwiches I have ever had was on the Holland America sailing that I took to Alaska last August.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it was cod, but it was some kind of whitefish. And oh my God, I had it for lunch one day as part of like a supplier invited lunch. And it was so good. I used our specialty dining credits to eat there again for lunch, like lunch. And they're like, "Are you sure, you know, dinner is more popular?" And I'm like, "No, because it's only served at lunch. I need to eat this fish sandwich again. Like, I must have it."
I love that. That was fresh fish. I do recall I also did a Holland America cruise to Alaska. And, I mean, we mostly ate in the main dining room. I was very impressed.
Oh, it's called From Port to Plate.
Oh, there we go. Port to Plate instead of farm to table. Get it.
So similarly, Canard Line recently announced a new partnership with 2 Michelin-starred chef, Michel Roux, who owned classical French restaurant Le Gavroche in London, who will be working with the cruise line's culinary team to create an exclusive gala menu for the Queen's Grill restaurant on the line's new ship, Queen Anne, launching June 2024. Plus, he'll develop a reimagined menu for Canard's fleet-wide pub, the Golden Lion.
Ooh,
I do love a good pub.
Mm-hmm. Celebrity hangs its hat on world-renowned French chef and restaurateur Daniel Boulud, and I know him well from Top Chef. Teresa and I were just talking about Top Chef. Le Voyage by Daniel Balloon is the cruise line's signature restaurant, while Lumine, the private restaurant for passengers staying in exclusive suites, has a selection of Balloon dishes. Foodie clients shouldn't miss Chef's Table by Daniel Balloon for a five-course meal designed by the chef, paired with a printed copy of the menu, a photograph of the experience, and a copy of his cookbook. I'm going to have to do that.
I only know how to pronounce, you know, Balloon's name because I've been on hold with Celebrity and Royal, and they say his name numerous times.
And I only know from Top Chef.
MSC Cruises celebrity chef Nicholas Ekstedt, a Michelin-starred Swedish chef, TV personality, and author, runs Chef's Garden Kitchen on World Europa. This specialty restaurant is set in an at-sea hydroponic garden featuring an immersive experience with panoramic sea views and an open kitchen. The menu highlights Nordic ingredients and techniques and, of course, plenty of leafy greens and veg-forward dishes. Not really up my alley, but definitely great for
we just went the opposite direction. And I already mentioned Scenic, but what I didn't say was that Tom Getter, who is the line's executive chef, he oversees the culinary program for both the Eclipse and also two of the Emerald Cruises yachts. And he trained under Thomas Keller's Napa Valley team and was a finalist for the first season of Top Chef Germany. And then I also watched him recently on Top Chef All-Stars, I believe, which was interesting because it was leading up to when I was going on Scenic Eclipse. So it's worth trying out, I'll tell you that much.
And if you think that you need to go on one of these premium and luxury cruise lines to get the celebrity chef experience, that is not true at all. Fans of James Beard Award winner Emeril Lagasse and Food Network star Guy Fieri can find their at-sea restaurant concepts aboard Carnival Cruise Line ships. Emeril's Bistro brings bayou flavors and Creole cooking aboard, while Guy's Burger Joint and Guy's Pig and Anchor Smokehouse and Brewhouse bring barbecued meats and over-the-top burgers to hungry passengers. And I do also want to point out that even though Shaquille O'Neal is not a celebrity chef, Shaq's Big Chicken is also really great chicken tenders.
We have talked before about Carnival's food. Carnival takes a beating about a lot of things, but the food should not be one of them. Even their main dining food, to me, is better than a lot of cruise lines that would be considered a higher tier. Mm-hmm. We have discussed the breakfast burritos for the Blue Iguana. Absolutely amazing. My niece went... She would have never chosen to go on a Carnival cruise, but it was her in-laws and they were treating the family and they did Chef's Table. And she said it was one of the most amazing experiences of her life. So we cannot bash Carnival on the food front. They really have it. Mm-hmm. They really have it down pretty well.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't really want like fancy stuff all the time. I mean, once during a trip is great, but my preference is for like homey comfort foods that Shaq's Big Chicken and Guy's Burger Joint and barbecue and beer. Like that's usually what I eat the moment I come back from what I call fancy fams, where all these chefs want to show off their skills. And I'm like, okay, like it's a work of art, but I don't find it appetizing.
Also, the melting chocolate lava cake is just elite. It is elite. You got to get an extra side of ice cream because they really just give you like a tablespoon. So you got to get one more extra.
Pro tip. That's what she includes in her templates for her Carnival clients.
Don't forget to order extra ice cream with your... I can't remember the exact title of it, but you know what I'm talking about. The lava
cake. Yes, yes. Last on our list is a quick one from Travel Market Report talking about what to expect riding Brightline. And having ridden Brightline from Orlando down to West Palm Beach and having just booked tickets to take Brightline down to Miami to pick up the Virgin Voyages cruise, I will say that it is one of my favorite transportation experiences in Florida. I mean, getting from Orlando all the way down to South Florida, it's always a hassle thinking about driving because, you know, if you can go a couple of different ways and both of them are terrible. So having the train option is absolutely a game changer. And I can only hope that they expand it. But the stations are absolutely spotless and clean. Like the bathrooms, beautiful. They have a bar that serves, you know, obviously cocktails, but they have really great breakfast sandwiches over there. The waiting areas have, you know, lots of plugs for your electronics. And it's just, it was overall a very pleasant experience. And in the train as well, super clean, lots of plugs for things. They have like a 4-seater table if you're with a family of four, but they also have like 2-seaters. It was great. And they had like a little cart that would come down the aisle to sell like snacks and drinks and stuff like that if you wanted to purchase anything on your ride. So absolutely a game changer for me.
I'm excited to try it in October.
Yeah. And so, you know, this article talks about what to expect. Everything from the different ticket types to what to expect at the station, which I gave you like a TLDR kind of version, and what to expect on board. But something to keep in mind is that there are mainly two ticket types, the Smart Fare, which is like the lower tier or the entry level, and then they have the premium, and each one has different inclusions. We did Smart Fare and I was perfectly happy with it. It was comfortable. I didn't need all the extras that they offered. There's a separate lounge for premium fares, but I didn't really need that. So Smart Fares was the way that we decided to go. And you are able to bring 2 carry-on bags on board. They have certain dimensions they need to fit, and it has to be no more than 40 pounds. So with 2 carry-on bags, I am pretty sure I can manage with that on my cruise. But if you do need to check in a larger bag, like if you are going to take a flight over to Europe or something from Miami or wherever you're going, you can also pay for a check-in bag. So you'll just need to pay, I think it was like $25 each way, depending on where you're going. So submit your bag, check it in about 20 minutes. I know this information isn't useful for you, Kareen. But you just, you know, check in your bag about 20 minutes before the actual train departs and just pick it up in baggage claim at the station once you arrive. Super easy.
What you can expect at the station is basically what Teresa had described, that it's very clean, lots of space, lots of amenities. They have garage parking for an extra fee, complimentary Wi-Fi, touchless turnstiles that work with your barcode, and ticket kiosks if you did not book ahead. There is a snack shop called Market MRKT. It is flush with grab-and-go options. Mary Mary Bar is probably what you were describing. You can get a craft cocktail and full meal service. And I really do love a breakfast sandwich. Just like at an airport, your bags will be scanned and you'll walk through a metal detector, but you can bring full-size liquids with you and you don't need to remove your shoes. You can bring your luggage on board to stow in the designated spot in each car, no matter if it's oversized or not, but there are the fees, like she said. And Brightline is ADA accessible with level boarding to accommodate wheelchairs, strollers, and wheel bags. It says no matter which ticket class you purchase, you're going to have a comfortable wait at the station. But the best part of the premium experiences is access to the premium lounge. I need it. It's just a quiet space with plenty of comfortable seating and complimentary drinks and bites that are replenished regularly and rotated throughout the day. You can even book a private conference room if you're working on the road and have a meeting that can't wait until your vacation's over. That's pretty cool.
And more details for what to expect on board, you'll listen for your departure announcement, as that's your indication that it's time to head downstairs and onto the platform. All the cars are clean, comfortable, and spacious. Smart Class ticket holders may purchase drinks and snacks on board. Premium ticket holders from Orlando to Miami are given a moist towelette to freshen up with and complimentary food and beverage service throughout the ride, such as a sandwich, caprese salad, fruit cup, and macaron. The ride is mostly smooth, but when there are intersections, you'll definitely hear them pull the horn. The onboard service is also really nice. I mean, you are not getting grumpy flight attendants here. The attendants on the train, they are so nice and pleasant. Like, it was shocking. I feel like everywhere we go, I'm always kind of bracing for a grumpy person, which I can tackle any day of the week, but I have to brace myself first.
Yeah.
And, you know, challenge myself to turn their frown upside down. But in this case, they are already smiling. There is no frown to turn upside down.
We'll give them some time to get burnt out. But they're not there yet.
I mean, the atmosphere is just so much more calm than flying that there is not that added stress level that, you know, people who are dealing with airlines and planes and stuff are dealing with.
I'm super excited. I love mass transportation, especially when it's new and clean.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready for some excess baggage?
Oh, yeah.
It's time for excess baggage, which is a speed round of headlines that are pretty self-explanatory, so you can learn a lot in just a couple of minutes. According to Travel Market Report, Avalon Waterways christened its 15th Sweet River cruise ship during a rainy yet cheerful ceremony in Pinhal, Portugal on March 28th. Another one from them says that TSA has added 8 new airlines: Air Premia, Air Tahiti Nui, Air Transat, Bahamas Air, Bermudair, Iberia, La Compagnie, and New Pacific Airlines. Go check out an article from Travel Age West because registration for Cruise World 2024 is open, and this article outlines what to expect there. Travel Pulse reports that Southwest Airlines is backing up its investment in sustainability by purchasing Sapphire Renewables LLC as part of the investment portfolio of its wholly owned subsidiary, Southwest Airlines Renewable Ventures LLC. Another one from them says that Travel Planners International is launching a new brand. The 36-year-old host agency announced that it's launching a franchise called Vacation Planners, which will be led by the one and only Jen Lee. Travel Agent Central reports that Inside Japan has introduced a Hidden Zen itinerary along the bullet train route over 14 nights. The itinerary for Hidden Zen stays in 8 unique accommodations. Recommend Magazine reports that Sandals St. Vincent and the Grenadines opened its doors this week with a view straight to the cobalt blue Caribbean Sea, welcoming its first guest to a nature-forward experience brimming with island inspiration and sandals firsts. According to Travel Weekly, cruise lines have altered their Baltimore sailings after the collapse of the city's Francis Scott Key Bridge closed access to the Patapsco River and port areas. Carnival and Royal Caribbean will both use Norfolk for now. And our high note today is also from Travel Weekly. The headline says, CEO says Carnival Corp knocked the cover off the ball in Q1. And that's it for excess baggage.
Just a reminder that all the articles we referenced today can be found in the show notes. Please remember that we didn't write the news, we're just sharing it.
If you've enjoyed the episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and or share the show. Also, head on over to our Facebook and Instagram pages, which are both under the Tin Lounge. We'll link them in the show notes.
Have any questions, comments, or just want to say hello? Please shoot us a DM or email us at hello@thetinlounge.com. We'll see you all next week.
Bye. 'Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it. 'Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it.